Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. Pardon the word of the Lord to Israel, my Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Verse 6. A son honoureth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my mother? If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Chapter 3, verse 8. For a man robbed God, yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me. Even this whole nation, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And probe me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open heaven, not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. Chapter 4, verse 4. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Would you turn to Matthew, please? Or Luke, I'm sorry. Turn to Luke, please. Chapter 2, verse 7. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now just chapter 2, verse 11. Chapter 2, 22. Chapter 22, verse 11. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber? Now finally in Luke 10. Luke 10. Luke 10 verse 35. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. I thank you, beloved saints of God, for the closing scene of an old dispensation. I thank you there because I verily believe that we are in the closing days of another generation or dispensation. The scripture says, coming of the Lord, draws nigh. I'm particularly struck by the opening prayer this afternoon. I trust its burden also touch your own heart. It was a sobering consideration before us. It was a very solemn chapter we read about the Messiah being cut off. What struck me also was some of the opening remarks, that there is a moral condition which was found in Daniel, so that God could come in and tell Daniel what was in his mind. Now, this is of vital importance. We have a mind, if you may recall, of Abram, a friend of mine. There's another, Hushai, I think, is called the friend of David. He was the king's friend. His grand thing, beloved, to be the friend of such a one. To the friend of God are the mysteries, perhaps, of the kingdom committed. To the friend of God, I'll tell out what is in the heart and mind of the blessed God. What I'm trying to arrive at, beloved saints of God, is this, that there is such a thing as a moral condition in which the blessed God can come in and address himself to our souls. I may assure you, and you hardly need me to do this, that if we're in the world, he won't come with us in the world. This is dead, sir. But if we are in a moral condition that is suitable to him, he will come in and he will address himself to our affections at least. And he will also instruct and inform our minds. I take you to Malachi, beloved, because there's a word there repeated four times. I have no intention at all of facing you for many minutes. The message is brief, simple, and I want it to be, if I can, pointed. I say again, we are in the closing day of the dispensation. But if I do, I say this again, we're in Malachi, we are in the days of a closing dispensation. Now I remind you, beloved, of the last verse I read from Malachi, that in the days of a closing, in the closing days of a dispensation, one thing is brought before the remnant, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God. Listen. Remember ye the Lord of Moses, my servant. That's taking them back along with it. Right back to what the Word of God said. Listen again. Which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, all the Word of God, beloved, for all the saints of God. Exactly. That's it. And when? Closing day of dispensation, when you need it most, you've got the blessed God's word, and you've got all the word of God, and it's all intended, beloved saints of God, but it's not only for all those, but it's intended that it, your affection should be reached, because you remember the Lord himself said, you read these scriptures, but do you know this? There they will testify of you. You want to know more of Christ? You can follow him through the gospel. You want to follow this fearless man? He sets an example. Where is he today? He's in the glory. Would he leave you here, beloved? And not addressing himself to your affections? Of course he doesn't. Didn't old brother quote tonight in his prayer from Colossians about that ascended Christ in the glory, where we should be. That's where we belong. In another sphere altogether. Beloved, for 33 and a half years perhaps. There is something in this world worth seeing, worth having, worth hearing. But he's with the Father. He's with the Father now. Beloved saints of God. In the world there's nothing today but the empty tomb of Jesus. There's nothing we can go in for in the world today. If we do, we cannot be the friend of God. We cannot expect God to follow us anywhere else. He removed his blessed son from the scene. There was one in her heart. Affection knew very well that this blessed man was too good to live here, and so she anointed him. She got him first. The others wanted to do it, but they were too late. Oh, beloved saints of God, there's a man in the glory tonight. He is the very epitome of all the glory and blessedness and grace and mercy, long suffering and kindness of whatever is the heart of the blessed God, and he belongs to you. It is God's gift to you, beloved. Let's get back to the Malachi. I've loved you, saith the Lord. Would you credit it that this blessed God would, in the closing days of dispensation, address himself to such people as these? You and I have never plumbed the depths of the richness of the grace and love of the heart of the blessed God. Surely we have never plumbed the depths. I've loved you, saith the Lord. Oh, these people, what have they done? What did they say? Wherein? This is the word. Pressed upon the heart, beloved. Wherein? Wherein? What is it? Is it a question, a kind of denial? Or does it carry a question mark? Or does it just throw back to God the accusation that God had loved them and they refused? You read the scripture and you come to the decision. wherein hast thou loved us. Is there such a word, beloved saints of God, in your vocabulary tonight? Your spiritual vocabulary, I mean. Is there such a word as wherein? Wherein? This is not only in connection with the love of the blessed God. That might take you to Ephesus, perhaps. First letter to the churches. The next one. Insensibility to Jehovah's authority, because he says, what did you do with the master? You fear the master. He addresses himself to the priest. He says, how is it you despise my name? Wherein have we despised thy name? Could it be possible that we who are priests have despised the name of Jehovah? There's an insensibility, beloved, both in the first case and in the second case. Insensibility to the love of the blessed God, the first case, and insensibility to the authority of the blessed God in the second. Let's get to the four of them before we ask another question. Chapter 3, will a man rob God, yet ye rob me? Ye say, wherein? Wherein have we robbed God? Insensibility, beloved, to what is due to God. Is this so? Is this what it suggests? They're insensible of what was due. They're insensible to the rights of the blessed God. What did he say? Ye search us. You search us. Wherein? Wherein are we guilty of this? A little lower down in my Bible anyway, it says, I'm going to draw your attention to this, it says, bring in and I will pour out. See that? What's the remedy? Are you insensible? Are we in any measure at all insensible to the love of the blessed God? Are we insensible to his authority that we read the word and we don't intend to obey it? Are we insensible to what is due to God, so that we contribute nothing to him? Who is he looking? Has this God any rights at all, beloved saints of God, in this scene? And whether the treasure has rejected Christ of God dwell today if he doesn't dwell in the assembly of the saints of God? All these are attractive things, beloved, as they take our hearts into the channels, into the path where God can speak to our affections and acquaint us with the person and glory of the blessed Christ of God. Now, would you look round today in your mind, I mean, just spiritually, for half a moment and ask yourself, is there such a thing in these last days as insensibility to the love of God in Christendom? Is there such a thing as insensibility to the authority of the blessed God in Christendom? Is there any insensibility as to what is due to God around us tonight, beloved saints of God? One thing desire is that these things may not penetrate into the ranks, as one might say, of the beloved saints of God. Let them keep where they are. Let them have the world of the light. George Davis has said many a time, this filthy world, yes, beloved saints of God, this world gave Christ nothing. Unstable. I'm taking you there, because I have no intention at all of occupying a lot of time. I'm taking you to straight away to look, if I may, jumping over a period of 300 or 400 years, as you know, where the Spirit of God was silent, finding ourselves in chapter 2 with the birth of Christ. The birth of Christ. I want to draw your attention to a feature of this, and a feature that comes out in the 22nd of Luke, and that is, this peerless Christ of God began his life in an inn, and he spent at least a part of his last days here on earth in an inn. This characterized the person of Jesus. He begins at the outside place. He begins a rejected babe. He finishes in the rejected position. He's still in the inn. An inn is not where a man dwells. An inn is where he lodges, beloved. No room for Jesus. No room for Jesus in the inn. And this is the character of all his life. Blessed be his holy name. He walked down here such a life that he indicated he only had one hope. And that home, beloved, was of the Father. I turned you to Luke 10. Because it's in keeping with the theme of our meetings. He's coming again. Beloved, don't take it from me, of course. or from any other brother here, take it from the word of God, he's coming. He's coming again. You know, this is a simple thing to say. We go around the chapter. We talk of the way, and we talk of the means there, and we talk what God has in his mind, all right and proper, but beloved, he's coming. He, Jesus is coming back. You see that? And do you know what? Where he expects to find you when he comes back, he expects to find you in the inn, where he always was. That which characterized him, he expects to characterize his beloved people. He says, when I come back, he expects to find you, beloved saints of God, where he put you at the beginning. He didn't put you in the world. Never run away from this idea. Don't let the world attract your affections, beloved saints of God. God never put you in the world. This fearless Christ who died because of your sins and brought you into this precious and sweet communion with his Father, he never brought you to the world. He brought you to the inn. The one to lay it on this one's heart would be too low, perhaps, to continue, because I tell you this, beloved, he gave his own animal, you remember, and he put the poor man on his own feast. You see this? This precious Savior, he walked that rough road from Jericho. He walked it, beloved, so that you could ride it. You see this? He talked about the sufferings of Christ last evening to touch your heart. But here it is again. This man, he gave you a place after he had brought all that you needed. And he set you on his own beast. And he brought you to the inn. See this? He brought you to the inn. And I say again, because this is a simple Bible, with a very simple and short message, I want to bring to your affections tonight. He brought you to the inn, and when he comes back, and the beloved, he's coming back. Pardon my saying it over and over again, Jesus is coming. Sing with me, word. Jesus is coming, beloved. The one whom you adore, the one I know speak to you for, this precious, impeccable Jesus, he's coming. He's coming for you. He's coming for the church he loves. Where does he expect to find you? Beloved saint of God, where will Jesus find you when he comes? Oh, you say, all right, you brought us to the inn. The inn master, you say, the Holy Spirit. I'm not touching on it, beloved. It may be so. But don't you think there's some practical import in the word when it speaks of his coming? Don't you think that the book of Revelation, for instance, was written in order to wean you out of this world? So that you wouldn't be a worldly man at all, or a worldly woman? Of course it was written for that purpose. Another thing, beloved, that comes to one's mind. He died in order that he might deliver us from this present evil world. You say, I love this Jesus. We've heard it this week. You say, I adore this precious Christ. We've heard it over and over again. It's true, it comes from our hearts. Well then, beloved, let us indicate that we love this purest man by being down here when he comes, when he puts us. The world is all clamoring. We're in the last days. Wherein have we done this, says Christendom, the religious body? Wherein have we robbed God? Wherein have we failed to understand his love? Wherein have we failed to bring in what is due to him? God, let such a word as that ever enter our thoughts. I beseech you, you. But let us take account of this, that if we bring in, says God, you bring in, he says, and you see. You see what happened? If you bring in, I'll pour out. This is a promise, a blessed promise. God enable us, not only to remain in the inn, so that when he comes back, we are in the position where he put us at the beginning, but enable us to be faithful to him, recognizing that was the canker of his life down here. He was a pilgrim and stranger, if you will. The Father's painting, oh, blessed be his holy name. His sepulchre is empty, and there's all the world ought to mean to you to me. There's no Jesus here. He's in before you. And you're going to join him. Beloved saints of God, you're going to join him where he is. And you're going to join him because he wants you there. I know nothing more sweet, nothing more touching than this impeccable Christ who wants my company, your company, up there in the world. Do you know who you're going to share the glory with? Yes, you say, I'm going to share it with Jesus. Yes, blessed be his holy name, this is perfectly true. But the type of people, the woman in the sense of Luke, the thief upon the cross, that kind of man, that kind of woman. Do you go into social distinctions, beloved? If you ever wander that way, it's the paths of sin and Satan. You mustn't go in for social distinctions. You must go in, beloved, for a pathway that keeps you under the shelter, the roof of the inn, in the company and care of the innkeeper, conscious that he's promised to come, and everything that would be needed, he will bring with him. God help us.
to be faithful to the precious trust.